Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 124 of Season 5 of the Move Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me for the final episode of this season, and hopefully not the final episode of the entire show, is Jake Cluett of so many different things. But the one thing that I guess is still going on is the Deep Blue Sea podcast. So welcome back to the show, Jay.
Why does this keep happening to me? Hey, Rob, happy to be back. You've drawn me back in for another final episode.
Yes. Why not? You know, I always enjoy having you on as a guest for the final episodes, for the first week, you know, things like that. So why not?
I love coming back for it. Talk about these 31 seconds of credits and black screen.
We actually don't even have 31 seconds. We only have 20 seconds of.
Okay.
So because, you know, the program that I use adds on that 10 seconds or 15 seconds. 10 seconds? 15, I don't know. Whatever. It adds something on there. We have 20 and 20. We have 20 something seconds. Let's put it that way. But there isn't really that much to talk to in this minute. Anyway.
No.
so it's basically just. That's true. I think the Great Escape is the only one that had something because it had the picture credits of everybody. I think that's the only one that really had something. I think pretty much all the others. But we still would talk for probably over an hour on each of those episodes. So it's not as if we can really say that there's nothing to talk about.
No, for sure. There's a whole podcast season to wrap up.
That's right. That's correct. I mean, there isn't much to talk about on screen, but we'll quickly go through it. Why not? So episode 124 begins with the Dolby Stereo credits and ends with a new title shot of the words Die Hard 2, which we'll get to in a second, but it's pretty strange that they actually have that twice. You know, they have it at the beginning of the credits and at the very end of the credits. You know, most movies have it at the beginning of the movie, and then maybe you'll have it in the end of the credits, some sort of title shot.
I always find that odd. It's not unusual to have just a title at the end, but it's akin to when you're reading a book and it's got the title of the book on every page. It's like a heading. I was like, why is that then? Because I know what is it just for when they're like compiling the book? And if they lose a sheet, they can pick it up easy and go, oh, this is from Die Hard 2 book. This should be over here and in here.
That's an interesting idea. I didn't think about that fact. Because there's the fact that you're reading a book and it has the name on every page. Is it sometimes connected to, you know, like if you're doing a file in Word, so then you have the header, and including the header is maybe the page numbers or stuff like that. You know, and like you said, maybe you fall asleep in the middle and then wake up and like, what book am I reading? Oh, I'm reading Die Hard 2.
Because I couldn't have just closed the book and looked at the cover and then gone back to the page. Yeah, it's because they'll have somewhere it's got the title on, like the left page, and the right page will have the author. So, do they just like the layout that gives? They'll have a little header at the top? So the balance, the symmetry between having the page number at the bottom? I don't know.
It could also be there are books that might do that way, so that this way the book will be longer, because then when you have to take up that space for the header and footer, you don't have as much space to, you know, for the text.
Sure.
I mean, there's so many different things that you can try and think of. You know, we can try and think of reasons for it.
But having the title at the end of the film makes just as little sense to me. I just seen
it's like, no. We just want to remind you just watched Die Hard 2. You didn't just watch Die Hard 2. You finished the credits of Die Hard 2. It's like an extra, maybe it's like an extra special thing that if you made it through the credits, so now we're going to, you know, like Marvel has, you know, end credit scenes. But here, what they did is they give you the title again. Ooh.
No one saw it coming.
You know, it's not even if it says John McClane will return, you know, like in all the James Bond movies, how they have that, or you know.
Samuel Jackson shows up and I am Zeus Carver. I've got a great initiative to recruit you for the next mission.
That's right. Hey, it's a great idea, but it's something, you know, that no one probably thought of at that time. But they wanted to get those extra few seconds for us to talk about.
Yeah, well, they didn't even start of the title. They didn't give you Die Hard 2. They don't give you Die Harder. That's the rest right. of the title. I was wondering, do you think this film lives up to the tagline of Die Harder compared to the first Die Hard? Like, do you think is this harder?
You mean is John McClane closer to death in this movie than in the previous movie? Is that your point?
Well, I mean, just in terms of the ongoing passing of time, he is definitely closer to death in this film than in the previous one. That will continue as the franchise goes on.
Hey, unless this is a prequel.
Absolutely.
Which we know it's not, but whatever. That, you know.
But just true. What do you think like Die Harder means as a tagline?
I think it's just a way to make it sound as if it's more thrilling than the first one. You know, first you have to die hard, then die harder, and then I'm surprised that Die Hard 3 wasn't Die Hardest. You know,
had to keep the franchise options open. You can't have like Die Hard even harder, I guess. But right. do you think this one is more thrilling than the first one? More like a harder mission?
I don't think so, because I think the first one is more thrilling because it all takes place in one building, and here they expanded a little bit, you know, because we do have scenes, you know, on different areas of the airport. We have scenes off of the grounds of the airport, you know, things like that. Die Hard, everything takes place within the building or right immediately outside of the building.
Yeah,
there's nothing happening a few blocks away or anything like that. I mean, come on, here in this movie, they even have, you know, 2 minutes where it's going on in L.A. So, you know, they're really leaving the airport in that case.
I feel like McClane has more at his disposal in this one. There's people working against him throughout, of course, but he has more. There's like a team. It's like Barnes is always on site, but he's there. They can move around. He's not confined. He's not trying to hide the whole time.
Right. No, and I think there's also something else to the fact that you know, even I mean, you mentioned tools. So you know, even his weapon and his bullets and stuff like that. In the first movie, he's relying only on what he has already and what he's able to take off the dead bodies of the bad guys. In this movie, you know, when he's back in the police station, he could be, you know, refilling his magazines, you know, get more bullets. I mean, there's so many different things that could happen. So it's less of a challenge for him from that perspective to get things, to find things that he can use to help him, you know, defeat the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not belittling this movie. I love this movie. Anyone who's listened to the last 123 episodes knows how much I love this movie. But that doesn't negate the fact that the premise of Die Hard, of a guy being in trapped in a building, is just so much more thrilling than what they do here.
There's more at stake in Die Hard 2, I guess. There's a lot more people's lives on the line.
Correct. When you get to the as the movies move along in 3 and 4, forget about 5. We're not talking about 5. Yeah. 3 and 4, the numbers get bigger and bigger. Also,
yeah, the
you know, scope 3, you have increases. That's right. The scope, not just the scope of the area that he needs to cover, but the scope of the people who are in potential danger.
Yes,
you know, because in 3 you have, you know, the schools. Think about the number of schools that they had to start searching. You know. And then when you talk about 4, it's a whole East Coast,
yeah.
You know, it just gets bigger and bigger. And again, we're not going to even talk about Russia. So, but yeah. So I think that you know, the idea of Die Hard and then expanding it more and more, it works because again, it created a whole new genre where you have all these other movies and you know, stories of people who are dealing with these type of issues, you know, even Steven Seagal and Van Damme, and I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, there's probably Macaulay Culkin, you know, there's so many people who've dealt with Die Hard type areas, and what they do here You know, that's why nothing has reached the peaks of the original, because the way that the original does it, it keeps it in the most thrilling aspect.
Yeah.
You know, even if you want to talk
agree.
about Con Air as a diehard type of thing, you know, so it's not secluded just on the plane.
No, yeah, there's none of these are pleasant situations anybody wants to be in.
No, of course not. I'm not. I don't wish it on anybody that they need to be in any of these type of situations. No,
no, no. Sure.
Don't think that for a second. No. So yes, to answer your question that you asked like 10 minutes ago, yes, I think that the first one is harder than the second one, and the third one, the fourth.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So as we continue through the credits, we get Titles and Optics by Pacific Title. Then we get the MPAA stamp of approval, the AFL-CIO stamp of approval. Then we get the copyright, which, you know, as we all know, it's 1990. And then it says something really strange. It says produced and released by 20th Century Fox, you know, as opposed to the fact that, you know, you'd think that it, at this time, at least, it was the same production company doing everything. As of today, things completely change. You have a lot of smaller production companies that need to make deals with larger production companies. You know, they're going to help them release the movie and whatever. So it's a little strange that they have this type of, you know, that they have to say that we did both of these things.
I mean, I'm guessing back then there were still some companies that would produce it and other ones would release it.
Right.
So maybe they just wanted to confirm, hey, we did it both. Credit.
Could be.
Double credit.
Could be. And get the Die Hard 2 mentioned once again, as we talked about earlier. And that's the way this movie ends. Black screen is the way the movie ends. Yes. the title stand there for a few seconds, then it fades out.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the way this ends. We've gone through 123 minutes and 20 something seconds in order to get through this movie. Now the only thing that we're left with is letting Jay try and guess, you know, my choices for McLean Monday and for Aviation Thursday.
And also the consolidated group ones.
Yes.
We always do that as well. So I've come prepared. I've already tried to guess them.
Yes, I know that. I know you like to be prepared. So that's good.
I'm not always. Where would you like me to begin?
Well, let's begin with McLean Monday.
Okay. For yours or for the groups?
Well, first mine, because mine will tell you, you know, once you'll be able to see where those 15 points will go.
Okay. So I know you're a fan of the film Nobody's Fool. So I think that might be in your top five. So I've got that at number five. Fifth Element at number four, 12 Monkeys number three, Unbreakable at number two, and a little film called Die Hard, number one.
Okay, well, you do have three of those you got right.
Okay.
But you didn't get the number, you didn't get their placement right.
You haven't got Die Hard number one?
No, I do not.
Oh, I'm surprised. Okay. What is your top five, Rob? Start from five, work your way up.
Ooh, okay. So my number five is Armageddon. I'm a fan of Armageddon. It's a fun movie. It's a crazy movie, but it's a fun movie. You know that, like, it doesn't make any sense from, you know, from a realistic perspective. So obviously, you know, anyone you know, who watches it knows that this is not something that is really going to happen. You know, NASA is not going to be giving a job like this to some untrained miners. But it's just a really fun movie the way that they do it. And
they just need to. I mean, how could they have made that premise believable? Is they do the Johnny English thing where every astronaut in the world was at a funeral and they all died. They all got blown up.
Right.
And there's no one left. So, I don't know, send these oil riggers up into space.
It's like King Ralph. Have you ever seen King Ralph?
I'm aware of the premise, but I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Okay. Where basically he's the only one left.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
That becomes a really morbid film. Like, yes. Every astronaut died. The whole NASA has just disappeared. We still have enough left to send two shuttles up into... Wait a minute. There's no way of making it make sense. You just need to gloss over and go, yeah, fine. They send them to space. It's everyday people going to space. This is what happens. Space dimension. Yeah,
correct. And I like the way that he and Ben Affleck, you know, their love hate relationship throughout the whole thing, you know, father son type of stuff. So it's just a fun movie. Nice. And it's really enjoyable. So, and I like what Bruce Willis did there, so that's why, you know, it's there. Okay, number four is the movie The Last Boy Scout.
Which
came out in 1991. If I remember correctly, it's the movie that he made after this movie. And I just love the character of Joe Hollenbeck. You know, he's sort of like a John McClane, but he's, you know, down and out. So he's somewhat of a bum, but he's quite a good detective. And, you know, the whole, I'm always a fan of conspiracy theory movies and, you know, people trying to assassinate presidents, senators, things like that, you know. So I found that to be really fun. Have you ever seen that?
I have, but it's been a long time, so I don't remember anything about it.
Okay.
So I may as well not have seen it.
All right, that's fair. Number three is The Fifth Element. Again, I love him in this movie. I love the movie. The special effects are amazing. Luc Besson was really able to take another crazy type of story and, you know, using special effects and you know, makeup and all that stuff just create such a fun sci-fi adventure that, you know, that has its, you know, Dallas Corbin jokes, one-liners from Bruce Willis, you know, coming in the whole time and stuff like that. And come on, Gary Oldman is always a great villain, even when he does it over the top like he does here.
Yes, he does. Yes. I'm not sure. He has a very like explosive gun that takes apart the scenery. I'm not sure if that does more damage than he does.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, he's always an entertaining villain.
Yes.
That is a fantastic film.
Right.
Chris Tucker aside.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Number two is Die Hard. The first one, you know, we basically discussed it earlier as to why I think it's the best of the movies in the franchise and why Bruce Willis is just so great in it, because, you know, there he's more in this movie he feels somewhat out of his element, more so than he did in the first one. The first one, he, you know, he's out of his element, but he's still able to handle the type of situation. You know, as we mentioned here, he needs a lot more help than he was getting in the first one. And then the third one, he's in his element, but, you know, we'll eventually get to that when we get to that season. Yeah. But
he's sharing that spotlight more.
Yes, correct. And let's see if you can guess now what my number one will be.
Is it Unbreakable?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Unbreakable is my favorite superhero movie because it shows that superheroes can actually, you know, live in our type of world. You know, you don't have to have be born in Krypton or whatever. You can just naturally have some sort of superpower type of thing. And it's something that's simple. It's just he has super strength, you know, that type of thing. And again, we're not going to talk about those sequels because you know, both Split and Glass have their pluses and minuses to them.
I think Split is excellent. I would hear no bad words against Split. I think it's a fantastic
movie. No, I think it's a great movie too. But it's the idea of Split was to create another character that can fight against David Dunn. Thank you. In the next movie, you know, that's the thing that bothered me about it, because I like the overall idea of Glass, but I don't like how it was eventually done. Sort of destroys some of the things that we learned in the first two movies.
I feel like the entirety of Glass was Shyamalan making fun of comic book movies. And because the whole thing is setting up that there's some new event that's being staged, like the demolition or something, or a celebration somewhere, and every other film, like, that's where the climax is going to take place. But that's
correct.
It just takes place in the car park.
Right.
outside. it's a big letdown. It's a big, like, unsatisfying, and nothing goes how you think it's going to go. Right. And that's just Shyamalan having fun with people's expectations. And I like it from that perspective.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. But again, I was just hoping that the end wasn't the end. You know, there was something else that was going to happen, stuff like that.
And there was not. That was the end.
No, exactly. Well, who knows? Maybe in 10 years from now, he'll do another one. You know.
Maybe.
But it probably won't be with Bruce Willis. So
probably not. His character is going to go, wakes up in a puddle.
That's
been unconscious for a decade.
That's right. All right, so let's move along to what you think are the top five movies that were chosen by all of the guests for McLean Monday.
Okay. So I have listened to every episode released so far, but I do not keep track of this as I listen, because that would be useful but insane. I think number five, Fifth Element, number four, 12 Monkeys, number three, The Sixth Sense, number two, Unbreakable, and number one, a little film called Die Hard.
Okay, I first of all must say you've gotten all five of them. The
order's not quite right.
The order's a little different, but you definitely got all five of them. You were correct.
Fantastic. So
excellent job, Jay. So with 25 points, 12 Monkeys. 32 points, The Sixth Sense. The Fifth Element got 52 points.
Okay.
Unbreakable got 53 points. So basically the fact that I put Unbreakable in the number five slot is what pushed it to the number two. In the number one spot, pushed it to the number two spot overall. And Die Hard is at 74. So, 21 points above Unbreakable, which again, when you're talking about a movie, when you're talking about a show that everyone is coming to talk about, Die Hard, so
you're tipping the scales a little.
Yeah, slightly tipping the scales if that's what's going to happen, and it did. There were a total of 28 movies that were listed over the course of this season for McLean Monday. What can I tell you? All right, so we shall now move on to Aviation Thursday. So what do you think were my five top movies?
Okay, this was more difficult because there are more airplane films than there are Bruce Willis films.
Yes.
So this is more of a crapshoot. So number five, Con Air. Number four, Top Gun. Number three, Air Force One. Number two, Die Hard 2. Number one, Airplane! Exclamation mark. But I'm not confident. I'm only confident that maybe like two of those are actually on your list. So
you got most of those wrong.
Yeah, I figured.
Most of them. As a matter of fact, only two of them are on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. Two out of the five. Okay.
So you've got Con Air in every spot, haven't you? One through five is Con Air.
Yes, of course. For Aviation Thursday, how many do you think there were?
More than that. I've 56.
46.
46. 46. Okay.
46. And there are six movies that only got 1 point. And nine that got 2 points, six more that got 3 points, three that got 4 points, three that got 5 points, four that got 6 points, two that got 7 points, one that got 9 points. Now we'll start dealing with the ones that got higher points. All right. So first of all, my number five is the movie Memphis Belle.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it?
Nope.
But a World War II bomber crew. It's a great movie. It's with Matthew Modine, Sean Astin, a whole bunch of famous people. It also came out in 1990. It shows it's based on the true story of the final mission of a plane that was about to be retired during World War II, because they only had to do 25 bombing missions until they would be retired. And so it's about their final mission and what happened to them during the course of that. My number four is Con Air.
Hey.
Yeah. Shout out to Jay and Mark from the Con Air pod. Yeah. So basically, I find it to be a really fun movie. I was even on a podcast that talked about it probably about a year ago.
Hey, me too.
Well, I know you were on that podcast probably sooner than a year ago, but yeah. And yeah, it's just a really fun movie. My biggest problem with it, as I mentioned many times to you, Jay, is Nicolas Cage's accent.
Yes. It's perfect. I agree.
All right, my number three is actually something that only one other person mentioned on their list, and I was very surprised because it was something that I did a podcast on. My season two was all about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So come on, how can I have a list that doesn't include Planes, Trains, and Automobiles in a movie that deals with something on a plane? It doesn't have to be entirely on a plane.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I guess I didn't consider it because there's only like one, a very short segment of the film that takes place. It'd be like, with those rules, I would have included Midnight Run on my list. That's just a little bit on a plane. But I didn't
Okay,
consider it to be
you
a
could have.
plane film.
You could have. Do you want me to change
No, I do not. I have integrity with my list.
That's right. Yeah. So, but then again, I've also seen the extended scene on the plane. So, so I've spent even more time on that plane than most people.
Fair enough. In the 4-hour cut of that film, there's like a 90 minutes of plane footage, which is an entire film. So,
Exactly. Not quite, but yeah, they
yeah,
do have some extra stuff on the plate. My number two with 4 points is Airplane, which a lot of people have on their list. And it is the best spoof movie of aviation films, no question about that. Anyone
it's a
who
short
loves it,
list.
yeah, I know. Anyone who loves
Airplane, it's Soul Plane. It's, I
That's
think
it.
that's it.
Anyone who loves disaster films of the 50s, 60s, and 70s that deal with planes, this movie was able to parody and make fun of just about every one of them, and even copied one of them with most of the dialogue and characters and stuff like that. If you've ever seen Zero Hour, so you'll
Yeah.
it was interesting watching that movie since I know Airplane so well. And my number one, what do you think my number one is, Jay?
I don't know because it's not something I had on my list. And I thought I had, snakes on a plane.
No, my number one is United 93.
Of course it is. You talk about that a lot. Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't pick up on that. Like that wasn't what I was expecting.
I should have done. I just made a mistake. Yeah. That's on me. It's early.
Right. Yes. Okay. Good excuse. Good excuse. All right. So looking at my list and how now you look at everyone's list, what do you think are the top five movies that were listed by all of my guests?
Okay.
And I will give you a hint that there is a tie for fourth place, meaning that there really is no fifth place because of that.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's doesn't really help. So tie for fourth place, then I'm gonna say Snakes on a Plane and Air Force One. Con Air number three, Top Gun number two, and Airplane exclamation mark number one.
Okay, well, you got 4 to 5 of them.
Okay.
The placement is slightly altered, but so I will give you that Air Force. Oh, let's put it this way: Snakes on the Plane is not on
Okay, well,
the
that's a crime.
list. Snakes on the Plane only got 10 points.
That's a crime. So how many points
Okay.
did the fourth place tie get?
Okay. Well, I'll first go with sixth place because the tie. The sixth place was with 16 points. Airport,
Right. Okay. I considered putting airport in there.
which three people listed it as their number as their number two. And there's not a single person who, not even Jim, listed it as his number one
Did Jim have any
because,
of the airports on his? Yeah.
of course, he did. Airport
75?
75 was his number one.
Yeah.
So I'm actually surprised that he liked it more than the original Airplane, but
If he never did Airport 75 Minute, because then he would have had to have done 77 and Concorde, and no one wants to do that.
that's
So
right.
that's the rules.
Yeah, I know that. I understand those rules, and those rules bother me very much at this point in time. It's very disturbing thinking about that fact. Okay, so tied for number four is Air Force One and Up in the Air, both getting 17 points.
In the air. Okay, fair enough.
Okay, Up in the Air had
That's a fancy.
one number one slot, and Air Force One did not have a single number one spot, but it had two number twos. So that helped there. Number three with 25 points is Top Gun.
Oh, Con Air beat Top Gun? Hell yeah.
Yes, it did. And Top Gun has only two number one slots.
Okay.
from Heather and Travis.
Disappointed in them both.
And then number two is Con Air.
Yeah. So how did Top Gun Maverick do?
One second. So, okay, Top Gun Maverick got 11 points.
Okay.
It had one
plane beat Top Gun Maverick. No.
No, it did not.
All the way around. 1 point.
No, it did not. 1 point. One point. Because Snakes on a Plane did not get a top slot. Snakes on a Plane had number two slot, and then two people, including you, had it as a number four, and then two people had it as a number five. Top Gun Maverick had only three people listed it, but it was listed in the number one spot, the number two spot, and the number four spot.
It's odd because it is a wildly overrated film.
I agree, which is why it's not on my list at all.
Yeah. It's fine. Everyone get over it. It's fine.
Yes. I don't think it's better than the original.
Yeah. I think it is. Because I don't know the original.
Okay. You didn't put it on your list either. You didn't put either of them on your list. So you're good. So Con Air got 55 points. Okay. Just think about the jump between Top Gun and Con Air. Top Gun got 25 points and Con Air got 55.
This makes me very happy.
And I hope I remember to give you a shout out every single time that was mentioned. I apologize if I missed a few.
I think you gave me shout outs sometimes when it wasn't mentioned. So, okay. If someone said like Passenger 57, you'd be like, yeah, that's another like, that's like Con Air. Shout out to JM.
No, I didn't do that. That's not true. Okay, you're going a little crazy with that one. How many number one spots do you think Con Air got?
At least two. Was it two?
Got three, and Mark did not give it as a number one.
Oh, Mark didn't, did he?
No. Fool. It's you, Niall, and Lisa had it as their top
slot. We had Lisa on to talk about. We didn't have Niall to talk about. We should have had him on. Lisa joined us for a Con Air scene.
And only nine of the only nine people did not put Con Air on their slot, but not slot it in, which is pretty good because considering, you know, we had 26 people
that were on. I'm going to need that list of nine people.
I can give it to you right now if you really want.
No, it's fine. You show up on my doorstep.
Let me see. Four of them are people. Wow. Four of them are people that have been on your show. Sorry. Five of them.
Okay.
Oh, wow. One of them is the current host of the Lampcast.
Richard.
Yes. And then number one with 78 points is Airplane! Exclamation mark.
Of course. Excellent.
And there were 12 people who put it in their top slot.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And then three people, including both you and I, that put it in their number two slot. And then I think there's one person in the three spot. One in the two spot and one in the one spot. That was it. So, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. So we're not actually done with top five lists. So I have one for you.
Uh-oh.
it's okay. This will not take you long to work out. I'd like you to rank your top five films you've covered, movies by minute.
Oh, wow.
You've now done five.
Yes, I have.
I'd like you to rank them, please.
Rank them in what way? Movie or favorite experience, doing them
as movies,
like what's your criteria?
What are your top five films that you've done? Like when it comes to how, just as films, please rank them in terms of your preference for films.
Okay. All right. That's fair. We'll start with number five and work our way up. Number five is Die Hard 2. Number four is When Harry Met Sally. Number three is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Number two is The Great Escape. And number one is Die Hard. Does that match with what you thought it would be?
It does. Mine, for me, I would swap those top two around.
Really? You would have The Great Escape as the number one?
Okay. Hey, The Great Escape is in my top four on Letterboxd. Die Hard is not.
Okay. No, I understand that. Yeah. I think it's very interesting because, you know, as I look back at the five seasons that I've done, the season that I'm most disappointed with doing minute by minute was The Great Escape. Because I hadn't gotten into my groove of how to do it. You know, like that's a movie that if I were to do again would be very different.
Well, that's what Pete and Alex said about Star Wars as well. They regret starting with A New Hope or the motion picture.
Right.
Just
the motion picture
they've done that. But they refer to it as the first ones being the motion picture. Because that was their first one, and so some of their episodes are like 12, like 10 to 13 minutes long.
Correct.
They have discussed going back and doing it. They're not doing that. Right. So yeah, I don't think that's an uncommon stance to take.
Right. Do you have that with Deep Blue Sea?
That podcast is still going, so we are still kind of talking about it a lot.
No, we're talking about the way you've talked about the movie.
I know. Less so, I think, just because Mark and I had already talked about Deep Blue Sea on a few podcasts prior to doing Deep Blue Sea, scene by scene. I think we covered it okay. We could go back and do it again, I guess. we'll see.
Yeah. you still talk about them, so that you know, you can always add things that you might have missed, that type of thing.
Yes, absolutely. But I think it'd be interesting to see how your top five list adjusts as you cover more films.
So do I.
Maybe we'll readdress this at the end of every season. Who knows?
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. It would actually make things more interesting of how I would. I never even thought about it from that perspective. You know, because for me, it's just I choose movies that I enjoy. And obviously, I'm doing the, you know, Die Hard on and off. When I get to Die Hard 5, you know, that'll definitely not be
that's
on my
top five. More of an off than an on.
That's very true.
And this episode is being released on a Sunday, right?
Yes.
So that means that we could play a round of Where Are They Up To This Weekend? we're on minute 124, Rob. I was wondering, I think I might test your memory of films that you like.
Oh, wow.
Where do you think we're up to on minute 124 of Die Hard?
Okay, so Die Hard is, and I'm not cheating on this, Die Hard is 132 minutes. So I'm going to say that what is happening here is that I'm thinking that maybe Carl is throwing off the blanket and getting ready to shoot.
The minute starts with the flaming bonds raining down from Nakatomi Plaza. I couldn't find the file that you shared with me with the whole folder. So I had to go by your description on your website for that one. So it's a roundabout then, yes.
Oh, so I'm close. Is Carl dead or not? At that point,
I'm not sure if he's dead or not at that point. I just know that the tower, the bonds have exploded and are raining down. I think he's dead at that point.
Okay. 24 was Jeanette was on that one. Yes. That was okay. Flaming Bonds was the name of the episode, which is why you obviously know that. I actually think that Carl only dies the following week, if I remember correctly now, when Richard was on.
I couldn't check my copy because my copy has a different time code than yours. So
I'm wondering if I mean I no longer have the single files of them. I didn't need them anymore, so I deleted them for space of other things. 124. No, it is
okay. I'm on Disney Plus now. Bonds are falling down from the sky. Oh yes, so Carl is not dead because we have Carl. Al Powell is coming up to talk to meet John. And you have a shot of Al with the flaming bonds in the background falling.
Correct.
So he's not shot.
But Carl is shot in this minute.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you have the hero shot and then it's just after that. Yeah. So you were right.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that one right. Okay. And I literally did not cheat. I promise.
Sure. I believe you. But what about The Great Escape?
The Great Escape.
Yeah.
Okay, they've already escaped, that I know. I think that maybe they're about to, for some reason I have in my mind that I think it's when Henley and Blythe are getting ready to get on the train, or maybe they're already on the train.
It's earlier than that. This is the pivotal moment. This is the true villain of the film. This is Cavendish screwing up for everyone. It's when he comes out of the hole and trips and lands on his package, the giant white box. That's minute 124.
Really?
Yep.
Lisa was on that week?
Lisa was on that week.
Okay.
I checked your files. There's still like an hour to go, and that last hour is on the road.
Correct.
So it's Cavendish screwing it up. The true villain.
Okay, well, that happens.
My nemesis.
You know, Cavendish screws up throughout the movie. You know, this isn't something new. You know, it could have happened in many different spots.
That's the only two films that you've covered that have over 124 minutes.
That's correct. The other two do not. That's right.
So I want to do a third one. I know that you're a big fan of It's a Wonderful Life. So what do you think happens in minute 124 of It's a Wonderful Life?
Okay, so It's a Wonderful Life is also 132 minutes, and there are no credits. So I'm going to guess that he sees Mary as the old maid, and at this point she starts screaming, and then he runs back to the bridge in order to get his life back. That would be my guess.
A little early. It's a little later than that. It's hello, Bedford Falls. Hello, Merry Christmas. Hello, Building Alone. Maybe it's him running through Bedford Falls, saying Merry Christmas to everyone.
Okay.
And getting back home and finding Mary isn't there.
Right.
Saying hello to the bank examiner.
That's right. All right. Okay, actually, if I see that the old maid Mary was like 2 minutes earlier. I was close.
There we go. Close. Very close.
That's close. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So there's a taste of your own medicine, Rob.
That's fine. And everyone can see that I got one out of three. I was close with the other two, but I still...
You were close.
Yeah. But that's fair. That's good. I appreciate that. You know what? I didn't even think that you would even try and do something like this. So, it didn't even occur to me to do any research beforehand, which says something. It says a lot about me that I should have thought about that.
I don't think you're caught up with this season of Star Wars Minute, where they're doing
no
Rise of Skywalker, but they just did this on one of their episodes as well. They just reached the credits and they just did like what happens in minute 134 of all the Star Wars films. So that inspired me to do this.
Okay. All right. That's great. So you're saying they're almost done.
They are almost done. Yes. At least one of them is very happy about that.
I would say that would probably be Pete.
Pete's the one who likes that film.
Oh, you're talking about that they're done with the film. Oh, okay. No, that yes. I knew. I thought you were talking about that they were done, with anything at this point. You know, that it was.
I don't know. I can't say. I think they're still carrying on with the Patreon. So.
Okay. Wait, the show's ended already this season?
No, it's still going. Well, at time of recording, they still have, I think, a week left.
Ah, okay. So when this drops, it will be over. Basically, we end the same weekend. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. Very close.
Interesting. Okay. Sounds like fun. Okay, so what do we have left? We still have to see if Jake can guess how many minutes I've recorded, or how long this podcast is and what is the average for this season as opposed to other seasons? Is it higher, lower, stuff like
that? Can you tell me what was the average of last season?
So recapping the previous seasons, The Great Escape was 175 episodes with a total of 4,015 minutes, which is basically 66.9 hours. And the average episode was 22.9.
Okay.
All right. Then Planes, Trains, Automobiles was 93 episodes, 3,145 minutes, which is a total of 52.41 hours with a average episode of 33.8. Then we have Die Hard 1, 132 episodes, 4,779 minutes, which is a 79.65 hours with an average of 36.2 minutes per episode. When Harry Met Sally was 96 minutes with a total minutes of 3,440 minutes, which is 57.33 hours with an average episode of
35.83. Okay. So I thought it was going to be longer than that. I'm going to say, I'm just thinking for the average. We can work back from there, everyone. I reckon the average is, let's say about, I was going to say 40. Let's say 38 minutes for Die Hard 2.
Jay, it's 37.99. That is great.
I'll take that.
There you go. I'll give it to you. With a total of 4,711 minutes, which it comes out to 78.51 hours.
Okay.
Okay. Now
you've had to do that several times. You've had to record and then edit and all the prep work. So you're at least triple that in terms of time put into this podcast.
Probably. That's fair to say. So, I mean, basically, if we calculate all of the hours that I did for this entire podcast so far. So where do you think that comes out to, hours wise?
Oh, God. I wasn't listening to half the numbers that you said. A lot. I'm not even going to try and work that out. I'm going to say a solid month. It's just what I think. So that'll be 720.
Putting these together, it's 334 hours. And then if we want to divide that by 24, so basically I've spent 14 days.
Okay.
Just recording.
Just recording. Yeah. So
so 2 weeks. 2 weeks of my life has been spent just recording these episodes. Actually, probably more than that. 2 weeks of the edited versions of them.
Yeah.
We're not even taking into consideration all of the issues that happened along the way, which there were many of them. You know, we're not even including those 4 weeks of episodes from The Great Escape that I had to re-record.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. The joys of international audio recording.
Yes, of course. I'm not complaining at all. My wife is probably complaining, but I'm not complaining. You know, I've thoroughly enjoyed doing this. You know, all five seasons have been a lot of fun. And, you know, I hope to get around to moving on to season six shortly. I know that I've been teasing throughout the last week or so that season six will be starting tomorrow. But unfortunately, due to the circumstances of things that are going on in life in my country, where there was a massacre a few weeks ago, and now there is a war going on, I don't know when I'm going to get around to working on season six. So for the first time in five seasons, I will be taking a hiatus. Hopefully it will not be a very long hiatus. I do have a few weeks recorded for season six. So as soon as things get back on track, I'll be able to start dropping them. Hopefully, you know, you will all be paying attention to your podcaster and be surprised, hopefully in a few weeks, that you start getting episodes of the new season. I will try to keep you all appraised of when something will come out, when I do know about it, but that we'll have to wait and see. So
I am on that first week of that season, so I will be plugging that everywhere as well as soon as it drops. So just keep an eye out, listeners. And as a listener, it is fully understandable to take a hiatus. You should not feel guilty about it at all.
I haven't taken a hiatus in 5 years, so I guess it's, or in five exactly. seasons, I guess it's about time. Unfortunately, it's for
you record extra. You recorded extra shows to make it sure it syncs up with Monday. That's why we're doing this on a Sunday.
That's correct.
Like,
well, I don't record extra. I didn't record extra episodes. I just, you know, I just sync them differently. You know, that's what it comes to. Yes. So I once again want to thank everyone who's been my guest for this past season. So thank you to Josh Horowitz, Niall McGowan, Alan Sanders, Jeanette Ward, Duncan Shields, Richard Kirkham, Jess Rogers, who is no longer Jess Rogers. She has a new last name. I just don't remember what it is right now. Heather Baxendale, Jim O'Kane, Hal Bryan, Eddie O'Hare, Nick Rehack, J-Mam, Todd Liebenow, DJ Valentine, Lisa Leahy. Leahy. I even when she's on, I don't get it. Lisa Leahy, David Brook, Mark Hoffmeyer, Alan Sanders again, Travis Bowe, Dave Palace, Bubba Wheat, Sean German, Matthew Simpson, and Jason Sturchik. Thank you all for taking the time to join me and be a part of this season, past seasons, everything. And obviously, a huge thanks to my pseudo co-host, especially on this episode, on the first week of each season and the final episode, Jay Cluett. Thank you very much, Jay, for hanging in with me, for hanging in and hanging on and hanging out.
Happy to do it. Happy to be here. Although I feel like Alan Sanders has usurped me as pseudo co-host. See, I think he does more episodes than I do these days.
No, it's a little different. You know, it's not the entrance and exit episodes. You know,
sure.
And
thrilled to have the title.
Yes. I think on IMDb, Alan has either tied you or surpassed you at this point because of that. But you know, once those first week of season six drops, you'll be ahead also.
Yeah. I'll have that title for a while.
Yes. Yeah. You definitely will. So thank you, everybody. Hope you've thoroughly enjoyed this season. Hopefully you've enjoyed all five seasons that I've done so far. And I hope to be back shortly. So, Jay, do you want to tell people where they can find Jake Cluett?
Sure. Yeah, so you mentioned Connor pod has finished since I was last on. So you can go and listen to the entirety of Mark and I covering Connor scene by scene, 40 episodes of that. We had an interview with Tiger and St. Jones, one of the convicts on the crew. And but Deep Blue Sea, the podcast is still going. We have done all three Deep Blue Sea films, scene by scene, now looking at Deep Blue Sea adjacent films. Rob joined us for Born American a while ago, but he will come back. We'll have him on for another show at some point. And that's pretty much it these days. So just focusing on that. Life versus Film is my personal site. I don't really do a lot there. So you can find me on social media at JAYCLUITT, Jay Cluett, on Instagram, which I recently had a big bump of Scotland and dog pictures from my recent vacation, and at Life VS Film on Twitter and anywhere else. So, yeah.
What about Lamperty?
Oh, yes. Well, and I do host Lamperty. It's been a little while since I've done that over on the Lambcast. I am eager to bring it back. I just need scheduling to work out a little bit better. And that kind of killed my motivation a little bit. Was I had a few months where it just didn't work out, and I just fell off the horse a little bit. But I'm gonna get back on it. Lamperty will come back soon.
All right.
So you find it on the Lambcast, the official podcast of the Lodge Association of Movie Blogs.
Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on my website, MovieRobMinute.com. Even if you're listening to this afterwards or whatever, feel free to still comment. Send me your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you think about the five seasons that I've done, especially during this hiatus. You'll give me something to talk about if you send any comments and things like that. The comments I want to hear is, we want you back. We want you back. And hopefully the world situation will help that happen, much quicker, but we'll have to wait and see. So Jay, thank you very much once again. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for continuing to do this podcast.
Yeah, and I unfortunately can't say I'll be back tomorrow, but until I'm back for season 6, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little village,